Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals. Hello, and welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and excited to introduce to you today Dr. Frank Buck. Most people are overwhelmed by the amount of paper and digital information in their lives. Dr. Frank Buck's methods made organization easy so people can increase productivity, decrease stress, and enjoy life. Frank is currently ranked number one in the world by Global Gurus Top 30 in the time management category. He is a public speaker, productivity coach, and author of Get Organized, Time Management for School Leaders. Frank has spoken to audiences throughout the United States and internationally. And his mission is to help business professionals achieve total control over their time and the peace of mind that nothing is falling through the cracks. Frank, welcome to the show.
Deb, it is a pleasure to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, my pleasure. And Frank is a couple of the things that really resonated with me when we first got together and got to know each other was we're both organizational oriented people. There is so much noise in the world. There is so much going on. Life is even more complex. But if you can get things in a place that's so much more organized and get more out of life, that truly resonates with me. And also, he's an educator, also a musician, all things that sing to my heart. So let's get into this conversation, Frank. And I would love for you to share with the listeners a little bit about yourself, your business journey, and the work that you do today that impacts so many people.
Absolutely. Thanks, Deb. Well, when I graduated from college, I had no idea that I'd be doing what I'm doing now. In college, I was a music education major, and I thought I would be teaching junior high band for 30 years. 12 years into that journey, I decided to go into school administration. So assistant principal, principal, then central office administrator. And sort of the turning point there, the thing that got me into what I'm doing now is that I started working on my doctorate when I became a principal, or actually when I became an assistant principal. That started the journey into organization, time management, productivity, because, you see, I was sort of already interested in that area, but getting that doctorate, it meant the dissertation. So I decided early on that I wanted to do a dissertation somehow pertaining to time management in the principalship. And so, first of all, for anybody who's out there who's getting a doctorate or they know someone who's about to start the process, biggest piece of advice I could give them is this. Decide what you want to do the dissertation on the front end. Because every class you take, you're going to have to write some paper anyway. So every class I took, I found some way to work time management into whatever the requirements for that paper were. So I guess one thing you could call that a good time management strategy in itself. So when it came time to actually do the dissertation, so much of it was already done. In those doctoral programs, the thing that wipes everybody out is the dissertation. We can all show up to class on Tuesday and Thursday night. We've been doing that forever. But the dissertation is that big brick wall that so many people just cannot get through. So the dissertation turned out to be a study of the time management practices of Alabama principals. We surveyed something like 2/3 of the principals in the state, got a 70% return rate on the survey, which was very high. And when we started looking at the results of this thing, it showed that principals answered this survey differently, used these time management techniques differently, depending on whether they were in elementary, middle, or high school. And there was a slight significant difference as far as how males and females responded. But there was no significant difference in how someone answered that survey as far as how old they were, how many years they had in education, or how many years they had in the principalship. So if those things don't change our time management practices, if getting older and getting more experience doesn't cause a change, then what does? And the answer is likely formal training in time management. So that was the big aha for me. During that process, I started a little workshop for educators, just with the things I was doing, the things that the literature was saying, because one of the things I was finding was there was so much out there written for time management for the business world, but very little for the educational community. Some of it's very similar, but education is a different bird. So much of my work has focused on how can we help teachers? How can we help administrators stay on top of things, make the job a little bit easier?
You know, that's amazing. There's so many themes in here that I just don't know which route I want to go. First of all, knowing that there was an area where you were curious, that you wanted the dissertation in the area of time management, you saw that it was a gap either in your own skills or in general in the education system. And the interesting thing that you did is that you just took a little bit of this one by one and started incorporating it into the work that you did. And that's so important for professionals to think about, if I want to change one behavior, I want to go from one mindset to another, start practicing often, practicing throughout your daily work. Eventually, it becomes a honed skill of yours. And I really like the other thing that you talk about is that why don't we teach this to our teachers? I mean, we teach them how to connect with students and transfer of knowledge. But why do we not teach those essential skills? Because again, they want to get the work done. They want to make sure they teach the students and get all the other things done. So I'm curious, why don't they teach time management in the education system?
I'm still trying to figure that one out, because for me, being organized and managing my time well, from my very first year as a band director, I think that's the thing that set me apart from other people. People say, gosh, you make it look so easy. Well, it's like, if you have a good system, it is easy. We make life a lot harder than it needs to be. And something I just have to share with you, first year as a principal. So they're trying to figure out this young Dr. Buck and what's he all about. This was in 1997. So this was before my smartphone and all that. So I had my day timer, had that little book that went everywhere with me. And so when there was something that needed to be done, I was always opening that book and writing in it. And the teachers were always, you could hear them talking to each other. You go, what's in that book? And they were curious about the book because they realized whatever got written in that book just somehow mysteriously seemed to get done. And this young principal's making all this look easy. So, you know, those professional development days that teachers always go, oh, no, not another one, because they tend to be boring as they can be. We just took a morning and I said, let me show you what I do. And I just talked about how I used that little book. And I contacted Daytimer and had them send me little samples so that everybody could have a free 1 month sample. They said, that's the best professional development we've ever had, because this works in our personal life, our professional life. This is so easy. Why didn't we think about it? And those that had, say, sons or daughters in college, it was like, I got to get one of these for my child. And then as we moved into the digital age, now it's become teaching people how to take the phone that you've already paid for. It's already in your pocket. You've already shelled out that money. Why don't you take software that is free to put your life in there, to let it remind you of what you need to be doing instead of writing on all these little scraps of paper, or just, oh, I can remember that. And then you wake up in the middle of the night trying to remember all the things you forgot to do.
So I'd like to take this back a step. So, I mean, you're speaking to my heart. I am super organized. People see that as one of my superpowers. But from your perspective and from the education system, ultimately, if people were to adopt some of these tips and tricks in terms of time management, ultimately, what is the outcome and what is the peace of mind that they can achieve by implementing some of these? What are the changes that they see?
The changes that they see are, well, first of all, you have to do the thinking on the front end. When you and I first got together and made contact that we wanted to do this, immediately on my to-do list went a task to brainstorm the potential questions to plan this. Now, that doesn't mean I had to sit down that day and do it. But Deb, here's the thing. As soon as I put that on my list and gave it a date of when I wanted to see it again, I earned the right to forget about it. So then I could just go about doing whatever it was I was doing and having the confidence that on the day that I wanted to sit down and prepare, that there on my list, there was no one I was going to forget. There it would be on my list. As you might expect, yesterday, there was another task that showed up that told me to go back and review the notes that I had taken so that there was no way that I could forget that the day before this interview that I had reviewed what we might possibly be talking about. And I do that with everything in my life. And it's so easy instead of, oh, I just hope I'll remember that. Or, oh, I'll worry about that later. I'll worry about that later. Worry about it enough now that you can say, I've now handed it to the system. The system's going to spit it back to me when I need it. And the thinking I've done already is going to be right there with the task.
So there's a reason why I do podcasting, because I am in search of inspiration or validation or insights. So it's a side effect if any of the listeners are actually getting something from this as well. But what I really love about what you say is you hit home for me. It's that peace of mind. So we potentially are worriers. We're very high achievers. We want to be organized. We want to get everything done. And sometimes a massive list of tasks without prioritization or parking it someplace, knowing you're confident it's someplace and it's going to come back at the right time. Some people can get so overwhelmed by multiple lists and all the work because they think it has to get done now. But what you've shared with us is that you've given permission to let it go, take the burden off your mind so you can focus on the things that are important now. And then it comes alive again when you have the bandwidth to focus, and you'll probably do it quite well and on time. I love the peace of mind, the permission to forget about it.
Yes. And there are some high school students that have figured that out. And there's some people that have never figured that out. The thing is, right now, I'm concentrating on this interaction with you. After we finish this interview, I've got quite a few other things, but I'm not thinking about those right now. They're on my list. My list will remind me of what I need to do. I can focus totally. I can be 100% here, and then I can be 100% on something else. You know, I tell people, if we could only operate our lives the way we operate the grocery list. You know, if you sit down to fix your hamburger and realize that you're out of ketchup, you know, you could go, well, I'm thinking about it right now. So I'll get in the car and I'll go to the store and I'll get ketchup and come back and fix my hamburger. Well, you know, you don't do that. And you don't go, well, ketchup, I remember ketchup. Next time I'm sorry, ketchup and, we're almost out of pickles. I get ketchup and pickles. And then by the time you get to the store, you've got 10 things in your head and you'll come back with everything except the ketchup. No, when you catch up, you get up, you go write it on the list that's on the refrigerator door, and then you earn the right to forget about ketchup. When you walk in the store with that little list in hand that had 0% of your attention, now that little list has 100% of your attention for the next 15 or 20 minutes. And if we could only run the rest of our lives like we run the grocery list, we'd be in so much better shape.
You sound so much like myself. The grocery list is, well, nowadays, it's one of the only outings I get because of the virus. But you're so right, because you have to get in and out. So I am laser focused on that. And if you're distracted, forget about it because you're so focused on the list. So thank you. So I'm curious, though, you make it sound so easy. And I'll say, I totally get this, though. I, too, had to get organized. But as you work with organizations, individuals, how do you emotionally connect with somebody who is resistant or is having a hard time making the changes that you recommend?
Mm-hmm. I think you have to, you know, Stephen Covey used to talk about start with the end in mind. I think you have to give people a picture of what the future can look like. The people that have really bought in to what I do the fastest are the people who've watched me in action and then go, show me how you did that. So whether it was transitioning from a daytimer to a digital tool or getting email empty, it's like, you have no emails in your inbox? How do you do that? When they see, I want that. Because you know, at first, you're not going to make their life easier. At first, you're going to make it a little bit harder. You know, the easiest thing to do is just continue to do what we've always done, even if it's not working very well. So there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for, you know, for anything. So I think it's showing them that here's what your future can look like. And the change is not going to be as bad as you think it's going to be. You know, we are creatures who do not like change. Well, we don't like the process of change. We like the outcome of change. We might like to move into that mansion. What we don't like is packing the boxes that are going to be moved to that mansion.
Yeah, it's about discipline. And, you know, in my mentoring and coaching of some young professionals, I also talk about having the right mindset, seeing and believing and trusting the future. You may not understand all the details how to get there, but at least see it and feel it and believe it, and you'll figure out the rest along the way. It almost teaches people to have vision. You really absolutely, in order to move to another place. But it leads me to another question, because I, in my experience, I'm an operational excellence professional. I have learned lean methodology in order to make operations more efficient and effective. And when it comes to a person's workplace organization, some people can quickly consolidate their piles, move things to an electronic format. But when you encounter other types of people that prefer the post-it notes all over their workspaces and all of the folders and papers visible like a palette of paint, and that is their operating system because they can find something in 30 seconds or less, it works for them. How do you work with these different types of people that have different ways of organizing and are visual, perhaps?
My wife is a prime example. You know, it took me forever to convince her to use a smartphone. She had a flip phone until probably 5 years ago. And then once she got that, then the idea of the Google Calendar, that was, you know, that we could each have our calendar, but our calendars are shared. That made sense to her, but her tasks are pencil and paper, and she prefers it that way. And it works. She prints out far more things than I ever would. That's how she operates. So when I encounter someone who wants to stick with a paper system, see, I think the two most important things about a system are, number one, that you have a system, and number two, that you use it 100% of the time. And so a person, you know, if you don't like it, you're not going to use it. So I don't want to force something on someone that they don't like. I want to start them where they are. So if they want pencil and paper, let me show them the best pencil and paper system that we can have. And the day timer, I mean, that's a great one. If you took away my phone today and you said, Frank, you know, if the power grid went down today, oh, please, let's not have that happen. But if it did, I'd pull out the old day timer and I'd be up and going in no time.
You know, you bring up a really great point because change is hard. People hate it. They want to see the future and be in a better place. But you bring up the point about start from where they're at. And that is key in change management. It shows empathy. It shows understanding. It shows how you appreciate them for the work they've done up until this point. But again, through your tips and your education, your experience, show them a system and then the discipline, because you can set up a great system, but then people can float and drift away and not achieve the results. So very knowledgeable, and I can't wait to continue to read your work, but I'd love for you to maybe share a story, a situation where you had to drop into an organization. They really, really needed your help, and maybe they were resistant or they were in crisis. How did you help them through that transformation?
I tell you, I think the biggest transformation, and of course, one that allowed me to see things through a long time, was back when I was an elementary principal, back when the school where I talked about the day timer. Of course, this was 1997, so nothing was digital at all. And when I started seeing how many little pieces of paper were floating back and how things were being done by 30 different people that could be done by one person who knew how to work the student database that we had, my focus very quickly became, how can we use technology to take administrivia off of teachers? And sometimes that's a hard sell, you know, because it's like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. you know, things like getting every teacher a good computer connected to the internet, because that's something they didn't have. And then the next step, let's get everybody the same productivity software so that when we write a letter, we can send it as an email attachment to each other. And then a spreadsheet. I designed a spreadsheet that set up just like their grade book. And when I presented that to them in a faculty meeting and about how, you know, instead of having your pencil and paper grade book, you can just put the grades right in here. It's going to automatically average those for you. At the end of the grading period, you'll email me your grade book. We'll handle all the honor roll stuff and all of that kind of stuff from the office instead of each one of you having to sit down and make a list. And I had a teacher who was getting a little upset. She said, "Dr. Buck, you just don't understand. You see, when I go to the ball game, I take my grade book with me and papers, and I enter those graded papers into my grade book as I'm watching the ball game. Now, with this computer thing that you're talking about, well, I can't take my computer to the ball game. So what am I going to do at the ball game?" And I said to her, "Watch the game." And the room got deadly quiet as the whole faculty realized, yes, we can quit all of this administrative, copy this over here and copy this over here, and we can spend more time on things that only we can do, and we can have more time to live our lives. That was a changing day for that faculty. And then from there, it went to everybody's got one computer, and then everybody's got a second. And then we started networking the computers. And then we decided, look, we don't need to print the faculty handbook every year. We can put it on one computer and everybody has access because we're all networked together. Of course, you know, anybody listening to this right now would be, well, we're all doing that. That's no big deal. But this was a long time ago, where what we were doing was looking at current practice and replacing it with better practice. And I guarantee you, in so many businesses today, there's a lot of old practice still going on that can be replaced by better practice. Because I think, you know, one, the thing is, Deb, I just turned 61. And so many of your CEOs, they're my age. We didn't come up through technology. We came up with pencil and paper systems and filing systems that involved file folders and metal filing cabinets. So those of us who have made a change, we've had to figure out a lot of this on our own. And so many places I go in now, and there may be a database that's keeping up with the students or the clients or the legal cases or whatever it may be. You go into the CEO's office and there's just paper everywhere and no system to it. And also a lack of knowledge about that database. So they're doing a lot of work to get some information together that could be run off of a prefab report if they only knew how the software that they work handles. Now, you think about the Wizard of Oz. Look at all the trouble Dorothy went through, only to find at the very end, if she wanted to get back to Kansas, she's got the ruby slippers. Still today, there are too many people that don't realize how those ruby slippers they have on their feet really work. They're not reading the owner's manual behind them.
So I take away a few things from what you shared, going back to that teacher who wants to do their grade book while watching a ball game. You have taken what they perceive as their livelihood, their self-worth, what they need to do. And through your work, you've helped them to live more fulfilling lives by truly engaging with the ball game. And the other thing that I see that's so fantastic here, and I see a place for you for the small and medium-sized business owners, where what has gotten business owners and CEO companies to the place where they're at may have been quite good, and they may feel like they can't learn new skills. But think about it, you connecting with other small, medium-sized business co-owners, CEOs, and just spending a little bit of time and understanding how do you spend your time? How do your people spend your time? Could you be doing something more fulfilling? Could you help them be a champion for that company by giving people back some of their lives? I see so much potential from translating this work from the education sector into other businesses as well. Truly amazing. So you, I'm sure, have inspired so many people along the way. but I'd love to know if there are any particular people or situations in your life that have inspired you to do the work that you're doing.
One that stands out, earlier in the interview, I talked about, you know, I'm going to be a band director for 30 years. And when people would say, well, Frank, have you ever thought about being a principal? You know, you're so organized. You'd probably be good at it. I said, I don't want that headache. No way. My ninth year in education, I was in a very high-performing middle school in an affluent suburban community. Really good situation. And we got a new principal that year. And when I saw what that one man was able to do in a school that was already high performing, this was no cleanup job, but he just took this thing to a whole new level. And I thought, you know, maybe I might want to do that. And up to that point, I had always looked at other band directors and choir directors who were successful and they had good programs and they really seemed to enjoy it. And they go into administration. I said, why? Why do they give that up for all the headaches of being a principal? But I began to realize that just because somebody does something well, that doesn't mean that's the only thing they can do or the only thing that they want to do. So I started taking the courses, and Dr. Henry Clark, he was my biggest supporter the entire way. He was the one who introduced me to this new thing called the internet way back then. And when I had finished the coursework and I was certified to be an administrator, he's the one that made the phone call to that neighboring school system to say, you got a lot of applications in that file and you got a lot of papers on your desk of people that want to come see. But let me tell you about one that you need to pull out of that pile and take a good look at. You need this fella. You know, see, the thing is, you know, you touch the bases, you follow the rules, you polish the resume, you have a nice cover letter and you think, that's what's going to get me my dream job. But that's how we apply for jobs, but that's not how the people who have jobs to give do it. They look at other people who are already in the organization or who are in a neighboring organization and they've already seen the work they do, or they're relying on people they respect to say, this is a rising star. Take a look at them. They don't go through the resume unless it's to find the resume of the person who's already on their radar. So, If somebody takes away nothing else from our conversation today, hitch your wagon to a star. You know, in NASCAR, they have what they call drafting, where one car gets right up behind the one in front of it. And the one in front of it has all the air resistance and is taking it away from the one behind it. Actually, it's a little vacuum that's helping the second car go a little faster. That's what we need to do. Instead of encountering all the headwind, get behind that rising star and let them pull you along with them. And then in turn, when you get to that point where you can do the same thing for somebody else, that's how you pay them back. So, you know, there are things I'm doing now with other people that are saying, thank you, Dr. Henry Clark. I'm doing what I'm doing for this person because of what you did for me.
Dr. Frank Buck, this has been an amazing conversation. I did not expect this at the very end, but so true. Again, follow a rising star. They're going to help you get ahead, but you know, there's beauty in being able to pay it back. This conversation is paying it back to people that are listening who may pick up some wisdom from what you shared. I can't wait to see what people do with this and for people that may connect with you. So is there anything else you wanted to share with the listeners? This has been an amazing conversation. Anything else at all?
Well, if you'd like to know more about me for the, you know, and the nice thing through technology, this interview doesn't have to be the end of my interaction with any listener who says, gosh, I like that. I want to know more. Come over to my website, frankbuck.org. So just my name, frankbuck.org. Get on the mailing list. Got a couple of free gifts right off the bat. One's going to get your desk clean. One's going to show you how to put everything you have to do on a digital task list, set yours up the way I have mine, get it structured, sort of gives you the behind the scenes thing. And then every Tuesday, I'm in your inbox with, here's new content that I have provided for you for free. Here's some little extra tips. Here's what I'm up to. So, and you know, all of that's free. And if there's somebody out there going, I do one-on-one coaching. So virtual coaching, which is a very affordable way to handle things. I also go on site for anything from an individual to teachers in a school, administrators in a school system. I've been as far away as Australia to do this kind of thing. So, our time is all we've got. And every good thing that we do happens through the dimension of time. If we can harness that, if we can take today and get the most out of today and start putting successful todays one after the other, the sky's the limit.
Thank you so much, Frank. Beautiful words. I know people will want to reach out to you. This has been truly a pleasurable interview. Thank you so much for all that you've shared and all that you will share. Thank you so much.
It has been my pleasure, Deb.
All right, be well. Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.